Good evening. It's good to be with you guys. Getting ready to get into God's Word with you tonight. Start off with a few thoughts to kind of get our minds ready for what I think God wants to say to us tonight. When you're young, right now, you are laying the foundation for the house that is the rest of your life. So when you're young, right now, you're laying the foundation for the house that is the rest of your life. In other words, you're making decisions right now, every day, that are going to shape your future. And there are plenty of great times ahead for all of you, I'm sure. But the difficulties of life are inevitable. You will go through some tough stretches in your life. You will go through some times of scarcity where it seems like you don't have enough. Or you don't have what it takes. You might call those times in life droughts. You will also go through times of uncertainty and turmoil and chaos and stress. You might call those times storms. You will go through droughts and storms in your life, but they don't have to completely wreck you. In fact, during those times, you can actually thrive and flourish and stand strong and bless others and honor God, even in the most difficult seasons that you'll face in life. And that's only going to be possible by having a life that is well built and deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. So speaking of a life that's well built and deeply rooted, I want to talk for a minute about buildings and trees. I want us to consider why foundations are important to buildings and roots are important to trees. And I promise we're going to get to the Bible in a minute. This is not an engineering or science lecture. I'm not qualified for that. I'm not an expert on those things, but I did a little bit of research and here's what I learned. Regarding roots, the primary purpose of a tree's root system is to absorb water and nutrients from the soil and to anchor the plant firmly in the ground. So roots act as the plant's lifeline to access necessary resources to support its growth. Now, regarding foundations, the primary purpose of a building's foundation is to provide stability. The foundation holds up the building. It helps it bear heavy loads, and it keeps it from sinking. It provides a level surface to build on. And it protects it from bad weather, storms and floods and winds, even things like earthquakes. So roots and foundation are essential. Roots and foundations are essential to trees and they're essential to buildings. And they're also essential for our lives. And so what I want to talk with you about tonight is what the Bible says, what God says about a well-built and deeply rooted life. We're actually going to consider three different passages in the Bible tonight that illustrate the importance of a well-built and deeply rooted life. And those passages are going to be Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, and Luke 6, 46 through 49. So it's going to be Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, and Luke 6, 46 through 49. Now, it might sound like a lot. It's not really. I think it's only something like 14 verses. So although we're going to look at a couple of different passages, a few different passages, it's not really all that much. Now, I'm going to begin by reading all three of these passages, and then we'll dig into them one at a time. And as I read them, I want you to pay attention to some things. I want you to pay attention to the imagery of trees and buildings and roots and foundations, because they're present in these passages. And I also want you to notice that in each passage, there are two different paths or two approaches to life. And depending on which path you choose, the outcome is going to be very different. Okay, so pay attention to the imagery, pay attention to the two paths, and notice that in each one of the passages, the outcome to the path you choose is introduced by the phrase, he will be like, or he is like. Sound good? So I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It's not that much different than if you have an ESV or an NIV. I'm going to read each one of these passages. So I'll read through these verses and then I'm going to pray for us and we'll dig into them. Okay? So starting in Psalm 1, this is what it says. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So that's Psalm 1. Now I'm going to read Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Beginning in verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And then the last passage I want to read is from Luke chapter 6. This same story that I'm going to read from Luke 6 is also found in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Well, we can talk about that a little bit later. Essentially the same story. And this is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together tonight and worship you by singing to you and by hearing what you have to say from your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us all to just quiet our minds and our hearts and just to sit quietly and listen to what you have to say, Lord, to our hearts and about you and about us. Prepare us to respond accordingly after we hear what you've had to say to us. Help us to be obedient to what you've had to say. Help us to respond to you in worship. We love you, Lord, and ask for tonight to be something that honors you and is helpful to all the young men and women that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so we're going to start in Psalm 1, which is the first passage we read, in verse 1, if you'd like to follow along. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. So it says, blessed is the man. I think you probably all know this, but each one of these passages uses the word man. It also means woman. So it applies to all of you. It means person, man, or woman. It's not specific to men. And blessed speaks of happiness and fulfillment. So blessed is the man who doesn't take this path that's described in verse 1 here. You're blessed if you don't go the way of the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. Now, we all sin, right? We're all sinners. But this is talking about those who like travel the path of sin. Like they look to the wicked for advice. They follow their example. And they even mock those who don't live their wicked and sinful lifestyle. Now, when you look at that path, you'd be like, that seems easy enough to avoid, right? That's not really what I want to do. Of course, I don't want to go down that path. But no one plans to end up where that path leads, right? No one sets out to go, that's the path I want to go down. And I want you to notice that there's a progression in that path, right? If you look at the language there, the path goes from walking to standing to sitting down. So let me try to illustrate it this way. Let's say I'm trying to avoid the path of eating too much ice cream. For whatever reason, the path of eating too much ice cream is not for me. And I know it's the wrong path for me. But if I'm at the store, if I'm at Safeway or New Leaf or whatever, and I went there for something besides ice cream, but every time I'm walking around getting what I need, I intentionally walk down the ice cream aisle. If I do that enough times, I'm going to end up standing in the ice cream aisle And I'm going to stare at all the different flavors and all the different Ben and Jerry's and all different kinds they have. And then the next thing you know, I'm going to be sitting on my couch staring at the bottom of an empty carton of ice cream. Right? So see, it's maybe a silly illustration, but there's a progression to it, right? These things, the decisions that we make have consequences and head down a path. And this is not about, Psalm 1's not the path of ice cream, right? It's actually about the path of a sinful lifestyle, which is, you know, nothing that's funny, right? It's destructive and it's deadly. And God says that we're blessed if we avoid that. So blessed is the man who avoids that path. And instead, verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So instead of taking that path in verse 1, delight in, the alternative is to delight in, to take pleasure in the law of the Lord, which really means, you know, God's instruction, right? His word, the Bible. And it says to delight in it and meditate on it day and night. It's not a literal 24/7. It just means that day and night continually, as a practice, right? As a pattern, as a habit, as a way of life, you delight in, take pleasure in what God has to say in his word. And here's the outcome of taking that path. It tells us what the outcome is in verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. So he will be like, right? There's that phrase. He or she will be like, verse 3, a tree firmly planted by streams of water. So when we take this path and we delight in and continually meditate on the word of God, we are blessed, we found out, and we're like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. Of course, a firmly planted tree, it's a picture. It's an illustration of something that's strong and stable and secure and rooted, right? Well-rooted. And from what we learned about roots, they provide an anchor, right? They're a lifeline for growth. And the outcome of being like this firmly planted tree for our lives, the results of taking this path, are that our lives are fruitful. It says that God produces good things in and through our lives if we take this path. And our leaves or our lives, you could say, don't wither. We have what we need. God will provide what we need to flourish in life. And we're prosperous. It's not talking about money. This isn't one of those things where if you take this path, you're going to be rich forever. That's not what God is talking about. It means that we experience growth and maturity in the Christian life, and we're living life as God designed it to be, and that's good. That's good for us. But remember, in each passage that we're going to look at tonight, there are two paths, right? There's two approaches that we could take to life. And depending on which path you choose, the outcome is going to be different, very different. It says in the second half of this psalm, verses 4-6, the wicked are not so. They're not delighting in the law of the Lord. They're not meditating on it day and night. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So the wicked, the ungodly, those who take that path that's described in verse 1, they're like something called chaff. If you don't know what that is, I kind of knew what it was, but it's not something that we probably talk about a lot. But it's like this light shell that covers a kernel of grain. So if you know about agriculture and stuff, you would probably know about it. And it's removed, the chaff, the light shell that covers the kernel of grain, like wheat or something, it's removed during the threshing process. And it's light enough, it's inconsequential enough that it can be separated from the grain by simply taking a handful of grain, throwing it into the sky, and letting the wind drive the chaff away. It's that like light and inconsequential that just like floats right off into the wind. And it's often used as a metaphor for something that's worthless or unstable or lacks substance, right? Something that's worthless, unstable, lacks substance. Quite a contrast to a tree that's firmly planted, right? Instead, it's something that's easily driven away by like even the lightest breeze. It just blows away. And sadly, the end result of taking this path, it's tragic. It's death. It says in verse 6, the way of the wicked will perish. So one of these paths that we learned about in Psalm 1 leads to death, and the other path leads to life. And the one that leads to a blessed and happy and firmly planted and fruitful and prosperous life is the one that continually delights in and finds its life in the Word of God. So that's going to bring us to our next illustration about the trees and the roots, and that's going to be Jeremiah 17:5-8. So I'll give you, if you're following along, I'll give you a minute to or a second to turn there and or flip there on your phone. But we're going to start actually, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. We're actually going to start in verses 7 to 8, and then we'll go back to 5 and 6. I think you'll see why. But let's begin in verses 7 to 8. Verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Now, Jeremiah, who wrote this, a lot of people think he actually had Psalm 1 in mind when he wrote this, right? Sounds very, very similar to what we just read. And what we find out is that blessed or happy is the man who trusts in the Lord, and it says whose trust is the Lord, or you could say whose confidence is in the Lord. Some of your Bibles might say that. And that's because to trust is to have confidence in. It's to rely on. And if that's what we are doing, if we are trusting in the Lord, verse 8 tells us that this is what we'll be like. A tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream. And remember what we learned about roots. What I learned about roots that I shared with you at the beginning is that the primary purpose of a tree's root system is to absorb the water, right? That's its source of life. And to anchor the plant firmly into the ground, right? The roots are the plant's lifeline to access the resources that they need to support its growth and health and life. And that's what our lives are like when we trust in the Lord, right? When our confidence is in Him. And it's interesting, in verse 8, it reminds us about these inevitable difficulties in life that are coming, though. Even if we're firmly planted there, you know, by the stream with the roots going down to the water, anchored into the ground, it says in verse 8 that heat is coming, right? The stresses of life are going to come. It says that droughts will come, right? Tough stretches of life will come, even extended tough stretches. Even it says here a year of drought. So it's not like just a little bit of time where it's kind of a tough stretch. There could be extended periods of time in our lives where it's just difficult. I was reading an article this afternoon about being in college, and this is what it said. It says the biggest challenges college students face, this is just a kind of a list of those things, are, and these were in order, academic pressure, time management, financial stress, mental health, identity and self-discovery, social pressure and relationships, career pressure, homesickness and loneliness, and physical health. And that's a lot of stuff that, you know, this study came out. Like, these are real stuff, things that we deal with, right? And for the stage that you are in life, I imagine some of you are dealing with some or several or all of those types of things. There are going to be tough stretches in life. And for this tree, we read that when the heat gets turned up, the stresses and tough stretches of life, they come, the droughts come, its leaves are still green, right? It doesn't wither away. It still experiences life and fruitfulness and growth in the middle of a drought or in the middle of a heat wave. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because of where it's planted, right? What it's connected to. It's connected to the water, its source of life. It's lifeline to access the resources that it needs to support its growth and fruitfulness. And what do we need as people during like the heat waves and droughts that we face in life and really in every moment of life is we need to be connected to Jesus, our source of life. We need to trust Him. He has all the resources that we need to flourish, even in the most difficult seasons of our lives. And so for the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him, we don't need to fear when heat comes. We can trust in the Lord. There is no need to worry in times of drought. Sure, we'll be tempted. We'll get afraid. We'll be tempted. We'll begin to be anxious, but we don't have to remain that way because we can trust in the Lord. And remember, in each passage, there's two paths, right? There's two approaches to life. And depending on which path you choose, the outcome is going to be very different. So now I want to go back and look at verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 17 for our contrast. It says in verse 5 and 6, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." So the man who trusts in mankind, right, who trusts in people, the person who has confidence in themselves and their own strength and resources. And that's kind of their go-to when they face these, you know, stressful situations and like the tough stretches of life, they want to rely on themselves and their own strength and their own resources. Basically, the illustration here is that if they do that, they're like a tumbleweed in a dry, desolate wasteland. The right path, the good path is for us to place our trust in the Lord. So when the stresses come, when the tough stretches of life come, and they will, who is your trust and confidence in? And I want you guys to remember, I hope you'll remember some of the imagery of these passages tonight. Do you want to be like the tree, or do you want to be like the tumbleweed during these times? So I want to move on from the trees and the roots, and I want to talk about the buildings and the foundations, and that's going to be in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46 through 49. And I mentioned earlier, too, this same story is in Matthew chapter 7, so if you're interested and you want to go back and look at it later, it's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And I think the Bible is amazing because in Matthew 7, the same story that we're about to read, it follows two illustrations about two different paths in life, which is what we're talking about, and trees that bear good or bad fruit. These are pretty common illustrations in the Bible. And some context for this story that we're going to read that Jesus told, this is Jesus' conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. So you probably heard of the Sermon on the Mount. It's like Jesus' famous sermon in the Bible. Most of it's like in Matthew 5 through 7. And this is how he concludes his sermon. Jesus asks a question at the very end of it in verse 46. Why? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? So Jesus asks that question. It grabs people's attention. They've been listening to this whole sermon that he's been giving. And then he begins to give an illustration of what it looks like to come to him, to hear what he has to say, and to put it into practice, to act on it. And it's real short. It's real simple. It's real straightforward. And what Jesus is doing is he's challenging those who call him Lord to make a decision about how they'll respond to what he's had to say, to his teachings, to his instruction. And this is the illustration that he gives. Verse 47 says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I'll show you whom he is like." So there's that phrase again, right? Whom he's like. Excuse me. Verse 48 says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." In the parallel passage in Matthew 7, Jesus calls this man wise or sensible because of the way that he builds. He's building a house on something solid and firm and strong and secure. And he lays his foundation on the rock. It says that he dug deep, right? In other words, he didn't take shortcuts. He took the time and the effort to do it the right way. Now, the rest of the illustration about this particular house, this building, is in the second part of verse 48. It says, "When a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house, and it couldn't shake it because it had been well built." So the picture, and the language is pretty intense in this story and the one in Matthew 7, there's a storm. Rain came, there's a flood, torrents of water bursting violently against this house, winds blowing and slamming against the house. But it says that it couldn't be shaken, it didn't fall, verse 48 says, because it had been well built. It was founded on the rock. The person who built it took their time to dig deep, didn't take shortcuts, did it the right way. And as we said, we're all going to go through storms in life, right? Chaotic times, stressful times, times of uncertainty, right? That a storm is a metaphor for those kinds of things. And it's important for us to remember that Jesus is not saying that if you come to him and you hear what he has to say, and you do what he says, that you'll never go through storms. That's never promised to us. In fact, I would tell you, having followed Jesus for quite a while, if you live for Jesus, you might face more storms. And the question for us is, as followers of Jesus, when storms come into your life, and they will they find a house? Will they find a life that's strong and stable and secure and well-built because Jesus is Lord of your life? And you haven't just heard what he said. You've endeavored to take action with his help to the best of your ability and to build your life on living out what he said. But there's another way to build, right? Consistent with the other passages that we've read, there are two paths or two approaches to life. And depending on which path you choose, the outcome, just like the other two illustrations, is going to be very different. So the other way to build is found in the last verse, which is verse 49. Says, "The one who has heard and not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. In the parallel account of this story in Matthew 7, Jesus calls this man foolish because it says he built his house on the sand. No foundation, just built a house, put it right onto the sand. Now, apparently, this story's always been interesting to me. Apparently, this guy had the same set of instructions, right? He came to Jesus and he heard what Jesus said, but he didn't follow the instructions. Right? He built differently. One guy dug deep, built you know, on the rock. The other guy built his house on the sand. And the same storm, we find out, hit both houses, right? So there was a storm, same type of storm hit both houses. One of those houses stood strong, and this house, we find out, is wrecked, right? And we also see that it didn't take long. It collapsed immediately. So the house that didn't have a solid foundation, gone, just like that. It says, great was its fall. The ruin of the house was great. And the difference was the foundation. It was just the way it was built. It was, more importantly, what it was built on. And the other thing that's always been interesting to me about this story is that both houses very well may have looked the same on the outside. And it's possible, very possible, that the one that fell and collapsed right away, it could have looked even better on the outside. Because just like you can't see the roots of a tree, right? They're underground, they're under the surface. You often can't see the foundation of a building looking on the outside of it. If you can, maybe you can see a little bit, right? It's what's under the surface in our lives is what you can't always see, the roots and the foundations that really matter when the droughts and the storms come. When the weather was good, no droughts, no storms, weather's great, you know, that you could, maybe couldn't tell the difference between the two houses. You might even complimented the guy that built the one that looked better, but when you look under the surface, you find out there was really no substance there. And that's the thing about storms. When they come, they can actually be a gift because they have a way of revealing or exposing what kind of foundation we laid. So if we find out maybe that we have taken shortcuts, we didn't build the right way, and it kind of, storm kind of messes us up in life, it can be a gift because it can help get us back on track and remind us of what we need to do to have a solid foundation the next time a storm comes. So in this story, Jesus shows us that there are two ways to build, deep or shallow, wisely or foolishly, on the rock or on the sand. And he makes it clear that in order to build wisely, to withstand life's storms, we must go beyond just hearing what he has to say. We must endeavor with his help to put it into practice and to live it out. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you know who that is, once said this. He said, Jesus doesn't allow his hearers to go away and make of his sayings what they will, picking and choosing from them whatever they find helpful and testing them to see if they work. Jesus doesn't intend that his words are to be discussed as an ideal. He really means us to get on with it. And he said that about this story in the Sermon on the Mount. And so, as we see in this illustration, this final illustration that we've looked at, hearing what Jesus says and not living it out, it has destructive results. That's the point Jesus is trying to make here. And to be, to think otherwise is to be deceived. It says in James 1:22, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So when you're young, right now, you're laying the foundation that's going to be the house that's the rest of your life. And you're going to go through droughts and you're going to go through storms, but they don't have to wreck you. You can thrive and flourish and stand strong and bless others and honor God even in the most difficult situations in your life. But it's only possible by having a life that's well built and deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. So for the short rest of the time that we have, how can we take these things? How can we make them practical? How can we apply these things? What can we do with what we've heard to try to put it into practice in our life? Well, first of all, maybe obvious is to avoid the paths that lead to death and destruction, right? Avoid the path of sinners, the wicked, the mockers. Try to avoid the path of trusting in mankind and our own strength and our own resources. Avoid the path of taking shortcuts and building foolishly, right? Those are all the default paths of the world. These are the paths that people take in the world that don't know Jesus. Instead, take the path that leads to life. Earlier in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said this in Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. and there are few who find it. So each of these passages, as we know, these were about trees and roots and buildings and foundations, and they give us practical wisdom for living as followers of Jesus, right? Psalm 1, if we look at it, try to just keep it really simple. It's about delighting in the Word of God and meditating on it day and night. Jeremiah 17, the passage is about trusting the Lord, having confidence in Him. And Luke 6 is about doing what Jesus says, like trying to live it out. To really simplify it, to make it really, really simple, you could say these passages were about reading your Bible and trusting God and doing what He says. But I don't want to leave you with just that. I want to give you a little bit of something maybe practical you could apply. I just feel weird walking away saying, read your Bible, trust God, you can do it, do what He says. You know, it's true though. That really is. It's so basic and so simple, but that's what these things are about. So in Psalm 1, we have the practical wisdom to delight in the Word of God, to meditate on it day and night. And Lord willing, all of you that are students, you will graduate from college someday, Lord willing. But you will never graduate, you will never move on from your need to read the Word of God. That is something that for the rest of your life, you will never graduate from. It's been said over and over again that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to somebody that isn't. I know it's not the same anymore because a lot of people read the Bible on the phone, but if you do have a Bible, wear it out. Use it up. Delight in the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. How do you actually do that? Well, the truth is, there is no magic formula for it. But I will say this, the Bible is more accessible than it ever has been. It's available in more places, in more ways than it ever has been in history. But people are also more distracted than they've ever been in history, and that's not going to change. So I would just tell you, as somebody that's walked with Jesus for a while, there's no magic formula, but it is important to have a time and a place, right? A time and a place where you meet with God regularly. Do you have a time and a place where you meet with God to dig into His Word and prayer? Right? I would encourage you, build the habit, make it a practice early in life. And it's going to look different at different stages in your life, right? And you might be one of those kind of people that's always a challenge, going to be a challenge for you, right? There's setbacks and you're going to get sidetracked, but I just encourage you, keep going, right? Because if you go through a period of time where you're not doing a good job with that, right? With digging into the Word and having a time and place, that's okay. Keep going. Keep focusing on that. Read it, meditate it, talk with each other about it, memorize it. I'm not good at memorizing it. I've heard Cody talk about memorizing scripture before. He's really good at it. And I noticed that, I was thinking about this week, most of the scripture that I have memorized, I still know it, and I learned it when I was 20. And I was thinking about that just because I would encourage you to do that now. If you can commit some scripture to memory now, it will serve you really well and be a blessing to you later in life. So delight in the Word of God, meditate on it day and night. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. So Jeremiah 17, we were given the practical wisdom to trust in the Lord, to have confidence in Him, right? And simply, trusting God means believing what He says about Himself, what He says about the world, what He says about you. And it means believing what He says about those things is actually true. And the place where we go to learn about those things is the Bible, right? The Bible is all about God. We often read it to see kind of like, what can we get out of it? Or what does God want us to do? And that's not wrong. That's good. But first and foremost, the Bible is a book about God. And it's the primary way that we get to know Him. I've often wished Jesus was here and I could sit down and have coffee with Him and talk to Him and all that stuff, go for a walk. But He's given us His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. The Bible is the primary way that we get to know God, and we should read it that way. So if you want to get to know God better and you want to trust Him more, you have to read your Bible. And a suggestion that I have for you, a practical suggestion, is what I would call putting the Gospels on repeat. This is what I try to do and have for a long time. That does not mean skip the rest of the Bible. It's all profitable. Read it all. But I would encourage you to read and reread and always be reading the Gospels. There's four of them for a reason, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these are the stories of Jesus, who is God in the human flesh. The Bible says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, that He is the exact representation of God. And one of my favorite lines ever that I still remember from when my kids were little, from a children's Bible, says that Jesus is everything God wants to say to the world, all wrapped up in a person. So to know God, to get to know God, go to the Bible, read the whole Bible, but read the stories of Jesus. Read the Gospels over and over and over. And finally, in Luke 6, speaking of the Gospels, we were given the practical wisdom to do what Jesus says, right? To live it out. To come to Jesus, hear his words, and act on them. I want to give you three things to consider. These are might probably be reminders for a lot of you guys, or maybe they're just things to be aware of. And number one, it has to do with location. Don't be fooled into thinking that simply being in and around and near and in close proximity to the things of God, right? Just going to church, just listening to sermons, just coming to a retreat, which is awesome. All great things. Keep doing those things. But that doesn't automatically translate into a solid foundation in your life. What we found out at the end of that story was that the one who heard, right? Maybe the one who went to church all the time, listened to a bunch of sermons, listened to what Jesus said, went to all of the Jesus retreats, but he didn't act accordingly. And it had a tragic outcome. So we have to learn to grow, give yourself some grace, give each other some grace. God will give us grace. But we need to go beyond the surface level stuff as we grow and mature as followers of Jesus. We need to dig deep. And we need to endeavor by God's grace, with his help, by the power of his Spirit, to live out the words of Jesus. And it's in doing that that we're building a solid foundation. The second thing that I want to mention here, just a reminder or something to be aware of, is about your faith, your foundation. It's not built on the faith of others. I'm sure you've probably heard the phrase, your faith has to be your own, right? Not your parents, not your churches, not your friends, not challenges. They may play a very important role, but if you're going to build a solid foundation for your life, you need to come to Jesus. You need to hear what Jesus says. And you need to live those things out yourself. And the third thing I would say as an application from Luke 6 is that there are no shortcuts. I am so thankful that the world offers all kinds of things that makes our lives easier and more convenient. I work for a company who does a bunch of stuff with AI. It's amazing. There's all kinds of different apps and hacks and things that make life more convenient. I'm thankful for them. But building a solid foundation doesn't work that way, right? There are no shortcuts. It takes time to dig deep and lay a foundation on the rock. It will take us a lifetime to do that. So when you're young right now, you're laying the foundation that is the house that's the rest of your life. You're going to go through droughts and storms, but they don't have to wreck you. You can thrive and you can flourish and you can stand strong. You can bless others. You can honor God, even in the most difficult seasons of life that you will face. So as we wrap up, I hope that these illustrations of the trees and the roots and the buildings and the foundations, I hope they'll stick with you a little bit as you seek to live a life that's well built and deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. And I hope that a lot of you are encouraged. I hope you, as you think these things through and you think, look, what kind of, am I building a solid foundation for my life? I hope a lot of you are encouraged as you consider the path that you're on. You're like, that's good. I feel like I'm doing some things to lay a good foundation. So keep going. God bless you. And I hope that you continue to do that and you're encouraged. But it's possible some of you might be a little bit challenged by that. You might be a little discouraged, right? You might say, man, I got a lot of work to do on my foundation. And that might be true. That's okay, but there's hope, right? No matter where you are today on your journey with Jesus, it's never too late to pursue a well-built and deeply rooted life in Christ. So whatever you do, don't ever go away focused on your shortcomings, right? Go away focused on Jesus after you've heard these things. Because you know what? We all walk down the wrong paths. We all trust in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own resources more than we should. And all of us don't follow the Lord's instructions perfectly all the time. It's called sin. We're all sinners. We all have plenty of work to do on our foundations. And the thing is, this is what I want to leave you with. Let's not lose sight of the most important work that's ever been done as we might look to what kind of work we might have to do on our foundations. The most important work that was ever done was the work that Jesus did on the cross. And it's because of his finished work on the cross that we are forgiven for all the wrong paths that we've walked down and will walk down, for all the times we've trusted in ourselves and that we will trust in ourselves, and for all the times that we haven't followed his instructions. It's because of his finished work on the cross that we even have a foundation to build in the first place. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, there is no other foundation to build on but Jesus Christ. So when you're young right now, you're laying the foundation for the house that's the rest of your life. Please lay that foundation on Jesus. And I want to finish with these words from Colossians 2, 6, and 7, and then I'll pray for us. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says this. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen.